Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is the text. Familiar words. And we start right in the middle of everything, and let us say, and let us be precise, what it is that we claim is happening here, what it is that we say we receive with our lips, on our tongues, and take and eat and drink. It is the body and blood of Christ. It is the true body and blood of Christ. Let's get precise. It is the same body that was born for us and laid in the manger, the same body that was out in the wilderness and hungered and thirsted for 40 days, the same body that knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, the same body that received the lash of the scourge, the same body that had the crown of thorns placed on its head, the same body that carried the cross out to Calvary, the same body that had the nails driven through hands and feet, the same body that was laid in the tomb, and that same body that then rose from the dead on Easter. That's the body that we eat. The blood of Jesus, the same blood that coursed through those veins and then was spilled from those veins, and we say, this is the blood of Jesus that we receive in the Lord's Supper. Now, being very precise in that way can make some uncomfortable. Oh, yes. There are some who have come along and said, how dare we believe that way? What a shameful thing to have happen to the body and the blood of Jesus, and Christians believing that we take that body, what, do we tear it with our teeth? What, do we chew it up? Our response doesn't go to the details of what happens as Jesus gives us his body and his blood. Instead, we go back and we say, it's his words. He told us this. And as long as Jesus says, this is my body, then if we are going to follow him, we follow his words. As long as he says, this is my blood shed for you, then we follow his words. But now let's push it a little further. Do you realize what it is that we eat and we drink? We eat and we drink the living, risen from the dead body of Jesus. With all of the power of Easter, with all of the power of the resurrection placed into that body, flowing from that body into our bodies. And part of how I teach the children at confirmation is, if you are going to take the risen, living, Easter body of Jesus and his blood with all the power of God included and flowing from him to you, with all the power of Easter poured out on you, and you are going to take that specific body and blood with all of the power of God coming through it into you, well, what might happen there. The most amazing power, the most amazing strength, gone. With all he is and all he does, focused in that body and that blood. And you're going to take that with all the power of God and place that on your tongue and then in your body and in doing that, you call on God to unleash all of his miraculous power in your life. What might happen there? Well, what might happen is death might get broken. There might be resurrection and life from the dead. There might be eternity. There might be all of the blessings of God poured out on you and in you. And the taste we get of that miraculous power and those miraculous acts of God, the taste we get now is only a very small portion of what remains to be poured out on us and in us, on into the future and on into eternity. So, this is what Jesus is doing. And Monday, Thursday, for the disciples, is a day filled with surprises. First off, they go into the city to prepare the Passover meal, and they go to a certain man, and the teacher has said, "Tell this man I must eat the Passover with my disciples at your house, and he will show you the upper room." And everything is prepared. He sits at the table. Before he gets to the part of giving them his body and his blood, another surprise. Getting up from the table and taking that bowl of water and washing the disciples' feet. And what is this? No, teachers don't do that. Kings don't do that. And God certainly should not do that. But here he is, stooping down in front of the disciples and washing feet. Oh. Coincidentally, the slide for this portion, washing the feet of the disciples. What is this? Everything turned on its head? Everything backwards? In fact, yes, exactly. The teacher will stoop down. The king will wash feet. And God will give his body and his blood for his people to eat and drink. And if the disciples had trouble figuring out what was going on with the washing of feet, how much more? When he takes the bread and breaks it and says, "Take, eat, this is my body." The disciples are sitting there in the presence of wonders that, well, for almost 2,000 years now, theologians have written long books about it and tried to explore how many things are in there in the Lord's Supper. Absolutely amazing. But there he is, giving himself to you. Who is greater? The one who sits at the table or the one who comes up and serves? And Jesus continues, But I am among you as one who serves. Okay. Well, maybe the disciples could grasp a little bit of this. Because with his body, Jesus had walked around the Holy Land. He had touched the lepers and they were cleansed. He'd taken the hand of Jairus' daughter, raised her from the dead. He had stood outside of Lazarus' tomb, and after Jesus wept, then he commanded Lazarus, come forth, and the dead man came out. So, the body of Jesus, where the disciples could figure that God's miracles were coming along into their world. Ah, glorious things, marvelous visions of the kingdom and wonders of God's power. Miracles happening. And maybe the disciples start to figure that way a little bit. But that all starts to fall apart, doesn't it? As Jesus tells them that he will be betrayed and he will suffer, he will die. Goes out to Gethsemane and kneels in an agony of prayer. What of that body? What of that blood? In the prayer, there was sweat like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Where is all this glory and kingdom and majesty and miracles and power? All of it falling apart, apparently, until finally they would see him on the cross. And then they would see him dead. And then sealed in the tomb. He fed them. He said, this is my body. But now the body in the tomb. And what to make of that? The appropriate thing would be to mourn, to look back over the 3 years that had preceded, to probably get very, very depressed. And just as that was fully sinking in, another surprise comes along. On the third day, and Mary is coming to them and saying, I've seen the Lord. And the two on the way to Emmaus come back and, oh, he's appeared to Peter and then he's standing in their midst. The body risen from the dead, all the power of God, all the power of the resurrection, all the power of Easter, all the glory. Take and eat. That's what we propose to do this evening, is to go to his table and take and eat what he gives us. Is that any way for the body of Jesus to be treated, the holy body of the Holy Son of God? Our reason, our sense of proportion is all out of balance there. It doesn't seem like it should be that way. Well, logically it shouldn't. But who wants to go and argue with God? Who wants to stand before him and say, Lord, this body that you're giving me and you are telling me to take and eat, this blood that you are commanding me to take and drink, and it's for the forgiveness of sins, and you tell me that there is life and there is eternity, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. That's how we say it in the catechism, isn't it? Who wants to tell Jesus that that isn't the way that he should act with his body? No volunteers. Martin Luther, quote, if he commanded me to eat straw, I would do it. And various times he extends that and says, if he commanded me to eat straw and said, in that you have a blessing, I would run to do it. But he doesn't tell us, go and eat straw. He tells us, take, eat. This is my body. And in telling us that, this is the most amazing part of the whole thing. In telling us that, how do we measure, comprehend, fully understand the love of God that comes to us there? So we stand in amazement. The Christian church has been standing in amazement before this meal for almost 2,000 years. And a friend in seminary, a fellow student, one time out in the hallway after class, we were flying the heights of theology and talking about the Lord's Supper and the wonders that were there. And he ended the conversation with these words. I think it's much more fun to munch on the body of God than to stand here and talk about it. Oh, he was right. Instead of meditating on it, instead of trying to fly the heights of theology, he was saying, I'm going to the Lord's Supper. I am going to kneel there. I am going to receive that bread, that wine, and in that bread, in that wine, I'm going to receive what Jesus has given me. And all the fancy theology that we can come up talking about all of this, it may be good, it may be wonderful, but it is nothing to compare with what Jesus has done for us, placing on our tongues his living, risen from the dead, with all the power of God, body, his giving us to drink of his life-giving, sin-forgiving blood. And in that meal, for him to make himself one with us and make us one with him. That's why it's called communion. It is the most amazing meal. But here's one more part. You don't have to be a great theologian to be ready for this supper. You don't have to be a very sincere and pious Christian to be invited to this meal. Why? You can be a simple sinner. And in being a sinner, you can know that you are invited. So you find this in the words of Jesus. The Lord's Supper is not there for the holy people. It is not there for the angels. the Lord's Supper is given specifically to sinners. We know this because Jesus said, for the forgiveness of sins. That means every one of us here. Jesus had us in mind when he said, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And so he is inviting you, come close. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Take this meal. It is one of the miracles of God. And he comes to you tonight with that miracle. In Jesus' name, amen.